Thanks for being here with us today. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. Of course, the dancing at Centennial Hall is the main event this week, but there are other things to explore that are part of celebration, including a Theater Alaska introductory playwriting class called the Groundwork Writers Workshop. Frank Katas is leading this class, and he hopes to attract Alaska Native artists interested in writing for performance. I talked with Frank about his journey as an actor, director, and a playwright, and tapping his own Thlinkit culture for material. You are pretty much known for your play, They Don't Talk Back, which Perseverance Theater performed, kind of a coming-of-age story about a Thlinkit teenager and what happens to him when he encounters his grandparents. But perhaps it would be a good time to just hear a little bit more about your work and how you got into writing plays and now screenplays.
Yeah, I had originally started off as an actor, and that's what I studied at the University of Hawaii Manoa. When I was there, I turned out to be like one credit short, and I was panicking, and they go, "Do you have anything you wrote?" And I said, I wrote this play as like a joke, or a screenplay, I think. Now I look back, and it's totally like cringy, but I never really thought of that as anything more than just like something to do for fun. After graduating Hawaii, I moved back to Juneau, and the place I was working would finish up at 4:30, and my wife's work would finish up at 5. And so I decided I was going to do something productive for that half hour, because I was auditioning for the season at Perseverance, and I was trying to find a monologue for a young Native man, I guess young at the time, maybe. Wasn't having a lot of luck. So I decided I was going to write something that would maybe showcase some of my acting skills. I wrote that piece and I really enjoyed it. So I was like, huh, maybe I'll spend this half hour like doing something artistic. And so instead of just like messing around on Facebook or whatever, during that half hour, I'd write a poem or I'd write a scene or I'd write a monologue or a soliloquy or whatever sort of like popped in my head. And then it sort of occurred to me that I could kind of tie all these things together and make some sort of coherent story out of it. What ended up being They Don't Talk Back. And it had wonderful showings in Los Angeles, La Jolla Playhouse, which is a major playhouse in San Diego. And then came here in Juneau, went to Huna for one performance, which was amazing. They rebuilt the set from things they had laying around, and we did a performance in the gym there. And then flew up to Anchorage, and it had a run in Anchorage.
Was this autobiographical? And maybe just give us a little of the story.
Oh, no, it's sort of based on a lot of different things I've seen or heard. And it was about a young man whose parents were having a hard time. So he gets sent to go live with his cousin and grandparents in a village in Southeast Alaska. And I don't specify the village, but it's so interesting. So many people would come up and be like, "Is this Huna? Is this Cake? Is this Angoon?" And I always said, "No, it's a made up village." And actually, on Vera Starbard Bedard's advice, she goes, "Just start saying yes to everyone." And so they'd be like, "Is this Petersburg?" And I'd say, "Yes." And they go, "I knew it." Because it, you know, I pulled from so many different stories and things I've seen and heard. So this young man, teenager, goes and lives with his grandparents. And he's an urban Thlinkit person from Juneau, the big city of Juneau. And he goes to a village and his grandparents are fisher people. Sort of learns about his history and what it means, the validation of being an urban indigenous person, which I think is an important theme. And it, like I said, it had great reception in all of the places that it performed. So I was pretty proud of it.
Well, what I'd like to do right now is play a little clip from your play that we have in our KTOO archives. And the young man is reciting rap in that. Do you remember that scene?
Oh, yeah. I know exactly which ones.
So can you set up this scene for us?
Yeah, this is actually a pretty funny thing. This wasn't originally part of the script. And then I had gotten a new computer and I go, "I'm going to write a rap," which was one of my notes that I had. Maybe Nick, the character Nick, can rap. And I go, "I don't know what he's going to rap about, but I just wrote this." I sat down. I'd never written a rap before. Really, I don't think. And then I sat down and I wrote this, finished it at like 2 or 3 in the morning or really late at night. And I was waking up my wife going, "I wrote a rap. Do you want to hear it?" She goes, "No, let me sleep." And so we kind of had this as like a piece of paper attached to my script when I submitted it. I go, "This will go somewhere, maybe." I don't know where. It's set in the 90s, heavy influence on like the gangster rap themes of the 90s. The whole time he's sort of like jotting down in this little notebook that he has, and you don't really know till the scene what is actually going on in his head and what he's feeling and how he's related to being an Indigenous person, how he feels walking around a place like Juneau sometimes, which is sometimes it feels so disconnected to being what it feels like to be an Indigenous person raised in a village. So, and he had a moment of frustration, and a lot of the times when he's feeling frustrated or something like that, like at this point in the play, he would write in his journal and rap or write poetry. So that's what sort of leads up to this.
Much to my chagrin, my skin may be akin to the color of our rival people, thought unequal. A genocide that's well supplied by being bred out, human beings being bleach washed to take the red out. Our words can never be said out loud in their steeple. Crippled, but we still standing proud, not feeble. Our ancestors' words are now whispered to birds under beaten breath, post-mortemized measles and modern smallpox. It seems unorthodox how the orthodox can mock peace talks by building concrete blocks with street clocks. Meanwhile, we sleep face down on sheetrock. Your auntie cries and your niece rocks.
That was performed by Skylar Ray Benson. And I just wanted to play this to give people a taste of what they might learn at your playwriting workshop coming up this weekend. I could see playwriting as a great outlet for someone young. And I was wondering if you are hoping to attract a lot of young people to your workshop.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that being a playwright or an actor was really even an option growing up. So I had gone to school originally to study something else, and upon the advisor's advice, I took an acting class and sort of just fell in love. And so one of the things, and this is true for Theater Alaska, for Juneau Ghostlight Theater, a lot of times the most difficult part about being an actor or doing something in theater is taking that very first step. And so this workshop is an opportunity for people to take that very first step to be a writer, trying to give them these opportunities, because it can be a little intimidating for some place like Perseverance Theater or something like that, where you're like, I want to try out for this theater, but it's like a professional setting. So you're like, how do I do this first step? Where do I go? What do I do? So the Groundworks Writing Workshop is an opportunity for someone who's been interested in writing for not just the stage, but for writing a movie. Especially, you can film a whole movie on your phone right now. So that part's been simplified. So let's give people the know-how on how to write a script. So that's what this is sort of based on. And part of the inspiration is one of my personal missions is to help people who have interest in theater, interest in writing, to give them the opportunity and a first step. So, and this is a free event. It should be exciting. So if it's something that someone's ever been interested in doing, they could do it on June 10th at the Walter Soboloff building in the Shuka Hit room. And it's going to be from 12 to 4 p.m. So, and I'm going to just teach people, you know, how to set up a basic scene and little tricks that I do when I'm stuck. Cause I'm like, I just need to write something. I don't know what. So what does that scene look like? And sometimes you'll throw a whole scene out, but sometimes you'll find something worthwhile in it. So
this is in the Klan House of the Walter Soboloff building. Is there anything significant about using that as a place? It does sort of feel like a womb, doesn't it?
Right. There's something safe and comforting within that room. The Klan House can give a sense of protection, I think. People need that. They need that safe environment to do something, to take that first step and step out of their comfort zone. And a place like Shuka Hit in the Klan House in the Walter Soboloff building is an opportunity for someone to try to find a safe environment, to be vulnerable, to write, to try to show their work or these thoughts that are within their head. I was just talking to Annie B, who also has a play opening through Theater Alaska. This is their first play. It's sort of a magical moment when the things that you've been like knocking around in your head for a long time, you put down on paper, and then you hear other people saying them and believing them and discussing them and feeling them. And you go, wow, that's sort of like a Zen moment. It's a magical moment. And so providing that and that feeling is sort of, it's unmatched for me.
Well, the blurb advertising this workshop, promoting it, says the goal is to build a strong community of writers who write stories from their heart. I like that, who write stories from their heart. And so I guess maybe, is that more important than experience for this workshop?
Oh, yeah, no, this is set up for people of literally all experience levels of writing. If this is your first time writing, I'm going to show you what to write and how to write. If you're someone who's like, well, I've written short stories or I've written a play before or something like that, great, let's do that and help develop it. I mean, a lot of times the accountability is the hardest part of writing and having someone there to help give you a reason to write and to sit down. So this is the reason. This is the reason to take that first step. And I know it's during celebration, so it might be a nice break from the big crowds, because there's right now it's a limit of 10. So if you're interested, you go to the Theater Alaska, theateralaska.org. You could subscribe or you could just show up. That's sort of a thing too. We're right now we have plenty of space. So right now we're sort of hoping for about 10 people to show up and write. And if you want, just show up.
But what about writing stories from the heart? You think that people have stories from the heart that are living there that they don't even know about, and a process like writing a play or a story brings right. amazing things out?
Well, I think people, especially that live in Southeast Alaska and have an Indigenous perspective, they have such great stories there. And this is sort of just about uncovering those and showing that perspective. I think people, not just here, but across the world, are interested in our perspectives that we have. So many people are like, oh, I don't have anything to say. And then they'll like, but I did one time think about writing about this. And you're like, oh my goodness, like that's a brilliant story. Let's do that. And so it's just a matter of taking these thoughts from their head and putting it on paper. Giving you the confidence and the ability to do that is great. I tell people, I don't care about spelling. I don't care about grammar. As a matter of fact, I sort of write with my own grammar and spelling sometimes. And for me, that's the heart. That's the more important thing than, oh no, how's my grammar? I can't spell. My handwriting's terrible. Mine, all three of those apply to me, and I still make money writing. So just writing from the heart, giving those perspectives, I think are invaluable. And there's something that a lot of the people I meet here in Southeast Alaska, Indigenous people, have such brilliant stories that we could share, like learning how to share.
Well, this is the 40th anniversary of Celebration. And I was looking at this quote on one of the posters promoting Celebration from David Katzik. And he says, the greatest contribution of Celebration is the recognition, acknowledgement, and acceptance of ourselves, and not being afraid to let people know who we are. We want our voices to sound across the land. And I guess this is one way to do that. Do you feel that?
Oh my goodness. I think this is a brilliant, I've spent many, many hours with the late King Gasteh, David Katzik, talking about theater, talking about the performing arts and opera. He had a strong passion for it. And he realized, myself as well, that the performing arts are a great way to tell our stories and tell our perspective and to share these ideas. And when you share your ideas and stories, it's building bridges to people who might not be Indigenous and give perspective into our lives that they might not have known. And you're building strong relationships throughout Tlingit Ani.
This is the 40th anniversary of Celebration, and it also coincides with Sea Alaska Heritage Institute's declaration of Juneau as a Northwest Coast Arts Capital. Also, a celebration of the Institute's new arts campus. There's a lot of talk about form line, carving. So where does theater belong in this mix, or does it?
Well, I think Celebration itself is the recognition of the performing arts here in Southeast. I think song, music, dance, oratory, storytelling, those are all parts of the performing arts that are so specific for Northwest Coast. And Celebration is all of those things. And so I think it goes hand in hand, not just with the visual arts that we see, which are so beautiful and they're doing amazing things, but I think it's making sure that we recognize that Celebration is an important part of the performing arts, and they all go hand in hand and they're all the same thing. So if we could get more people, like through this workshop, to write plays or screenplays or something like that, that's just going to add to this wealth of Northwest Coast art here in Southeast Alaska. I think it's going to be beautiful. That shouldn't be forgotten.
Before we go, you want to quickly recap what people want to know if they want to take part in your workshop?
Yeah, for sure. The workshop is taught by me, instructed by me. You don't need any experience to show up to do this workshop. It's June 10th from 12 to 4 p.m. at Shukahit at the Walter Sobeloff Building, downtown Juneau. It's a four-hour workshop, and some of that time is going off and writing on your own to help develop a scene. If you're curious to get something down on paper, to share your stories and to expand the richness of the performing arts here in Southeast Alaska.
All right. Ganashchish, thank you so much, Frank Katas, for taking time out today to tell us about your playwriting workshop and a little bit about yourself. Thanks.